Sidorov. Seigel. Sidorov. Sidorov with the dragon shoot. Blocked by Gourley. They've blocked shots from period one. And there's the long-range chance. They can't get the puck out. Here's a shot and a goal! Mitchell Hurd!
Welcome to another edition of Clan Chat. Murph here, joined by Mitchell Hurd. Heard that. It's great to finally catch up with you. We've been looking forward to this talk, and I've really enjoyed watching you play so far. You've certainly been dishing the puck well in the Challenge Cup with 7 assists already, a goal and assist in league action. But more importantly than the stats, Mitchell, it seems to me that you're enjoying life in purple and certainly enjoying life on that line with your line mates.
Yeah, my linemates have been great, big asset to my success and obviously the team as well. It's been a while since I felt at home playing in a city away from home, and one step at a time, and so far so good.
It is interesting because there's a lot of guys that haven't played in the Elite League before. There's a lot of guys that maybe haven't played together before. There's a couple of returning guys like the Pelics and the Lakovic, who I'm sure you've picked their brain a little bit about the city and whatnot. But just talk about that. Are you kind of looking around the dressing room on any given day and kind of going, okay, does anyone want to go to lunch here, or are you trying to figure out the city?
Yeah, I'm always on the move. I like to, you know, get an observation for what's out there and my bearings and my surroundings where I am. I've been hanging a lot with different guys, really. I mean, that's a nice thing about having a little English speaking across the seas is, you know, you can have a lot more people to talk to and interact with and figure things out rather than figuring it out all on your own.
I think you gave the fans quite a nice surprise a few evenings ago, probably beyond that once this comes out online. But you and Gary Hayden decided to do your own sort of Sidney Crosby delivering the season tickets, but you decided to show up and give out the season tickets at Brayhead Arena. Was that something you enjoyed?
Yeah, I enjoy interacting with the fans and getting in the community and kind of, you know, get to know people and see who's there. Because, I mean, the fans are the big supporters, and without them, there's nothing to really play for. So we happened to show up unexpectedly to them, and, you know, they have smiles on their face, and we can make their day. So we're just trying to do those little things, and I think they have another couple the next couple of nights, so there's other guys going too. So that's good. It's awesome for us to get out there.
It's really interesting, right? Because I think it's that old adage, be the reason that someone smiles today. And you certainly would have put smiles on so many kids' faces in the atrium there. Was there one sort of interaction that really sticks out?
Yeah, there's the one young kid. I think his name is Brody. We've seen him a lot. We've got a couple interactions. I'll be having him doing the herd that pretty soon here, I think.
Yeah, he's a good kid, Brody Barr, and I think he's as big a fan as there is. We're lucky there's a lot of good fans around in purple, and certainly you're going to become a fan favorite. I think that they really enjoyed your celebration after the win in Kirkcaldy, the old dive in and take a swim.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that the away team wasn't going to like that so much, but you got to do what you got to do. I mean, they gave it to us the first game there, and we just answered back, so good push to shove, you know, and gets the fans more interactive as well.
Well, it was our fans in that corner, so it's not like you were disrespecting anyone. And I get the sense that you're not too worried about whether you've upset anyone, because look, it's hockey, and at the end of the day, it's entertainment, and there's got to be a little bit of that sort of, I would say, showmanship, especially after the first win of the season.
Yeah, I'm a passionate guy, on and off the ice, very emotional. So just to bring that impact on and off the ice can go a long way for some guys.
And Corey Nielsen certainly knows the league well. Have you kind of enjoyed the sort of, I talked to Devin Sidorov about this because he's new to the league as well. You've got the league, you've got the cup, and then you're jockeying for a playoff position. So there's three different sort of elements to an Elite League season. It's almost like a 50-odd game playoff, really. But has Corey kind of laid that out for you, and are you kind of, you got your head around that?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's pretty cool how they do that. It's different for me as well. And I'm a competitor, and what you see is what you get. So whether it's regular season or Challenge Cup, it doesn't really matter. We're gonna do whatever we can to try and win that game. And that's the goal at the end of the day.
You grew up in Bowmanville, I believe, so you would have had a lot of sort of influences on your hockey career, no doubt. But do you look back to those formative days playing midget and Adam and all that, and who was your sort of biggest influence growing up?
I mean, hometown guys, we got Josh Bailey from the NHL. I grew up with his brother all my life. He's kind of been one of my hometown inspirations. Other than that, I was a big Flyers fan as a kid. So, I mean, kind of matches the style of game I play. I was a big Jeremy Roenick fan. He's kind of one of my hockey role model. But other than that, I mean, Michael Jordan, obviously, Kobe Bryant, those guys are inspirational to me.
And certainly Jeremy Roenick didn't worry about ruffling the away fans or the home fans or whatever back in his day. He was certainly a character. You look at that, I mean, there's such a great, hockey history in Ontario and Bowmanville. You mentioned Josh Bailey, but were you a Leafs guy growing up other than the Flyers? Like if the Flyers weren't on, were you watching the Leafs?
Yeah, I'm always watching the Buds. I love watching the blue and white, but I think I don't know how old I was, but when Roenick put the Buds out in game seven, he went glove side over Belfour's shoulder. That was the key turning point for me. I was no longer blue and white. I was just orange and white.
That's interesting because we all have. I grew up in Newfoundland, and so we'd be cheering for the Bruins, even though we were Canadian. We didn't know it was an American team when you're 5 years old. You just know whatever's on the TV, that's what you're kind of cheering for. And I mean, even when I played midget, you played that hard brand of hockey because it was the big bad Bruins or whatever. So it's interesting to know that because I watch you and I know that there's a big physical element there. So the Flyers are the Philadelphia Flyers, not the Fife Flyers, are close to your heart. Were you excited in your draft year? We just talked a little bit off camera. I mean, you were 41st overall, and for the Purple Army or anyone else watching, to be a second round pick in the NHL, I mean, that is quite an honor, 41st overall. Did you have a party? Like, did you have your family around? Were you excited? I mean, it must have been some day.
Yeah, it was actually a funny story. We were driving downtown because my mom had signed me up for a walk a mile in high heels for battered. So what we did was we were all there, we were all gathered, and I think I got drafted around 10:15, so it was like pretty quick into the day. I wasn't really anticipating that high, so it was a shock for me and my whole family. It was lucky like the five of us could all be there together.
Shot in, bounce saves, and the rebound's put away.
You talk about the Leafs no longer. You're Flyers, Philadelphia Flyers guy. Do you ever kind of look in on the Avs and go, okay, they drafted me, I'll cheer for them in this playoff round, or is it, you know, it's a line in the sand?
That's one of those bittersweet things. I never end up playing for them, but you'll always have those memories, and I'm thankful for every second I had, like doing everything that I could to be there, and you know what? I throw it on. They won the cup not just long ago. And like, sometimes you think you could have been a part of that. It could have been a cool thing, but just to see them, that was their goal 10 years ago. It was the same every year to win that cup. And for them to get it was pretty cool.
I mean, you had a great OHL career in Plymouth, and then you had like a really good AHL career, 200 plus games, some coast games as well, over 200. You did have some time in Europe, of course, in the German DEL, and you were in Slovakia last year. You've had some really cool stops, whether it's like Florida in the coast or Charlotte in the A, and like we said, in Germany and Straubing. Like, there's been a lot of cool cities there, and I've said to some of the imports, it's a really nice way to earn a living, isn't it, to see the world like that through hockey. Cities that you probably never would have gone to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like a chapter every year it comes. You don't know 4 weeks before you're going to go somewhere. So it's a lot to deal with. There's a lot of up and downs, but at the end of the day, we're playing a kids sport to earn a living. And like you said, see the world. It's incredible. Some things that you probably would never see and places you would probably never go. So at the end of the day, it's a great experience and no one can take that away from you.
Yeah, it is a lovely life, and playing hockey growing up, you're not really thinking. I mean, I remember when I was growing up, you just want to play hockey. You're not thinking too much. You probably scored the game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup playing road hockey outside with your neighbors and all that. But to still be playing hockey and to be traveling, it is a gift, isn't it?
Absolutely, man. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I try not to take every day for granted. I know that one day it's all going to end, so I try and soak up every day before it's over, because one day you're going to look back and maybe not remember all these little things that, you know, made you happy, and you got to enjoy it while it's here.
A lot of people say it's the camaraderie. And I know some of the travel in the EIHL, and I'm sure Corey and Mike Sorrent sort of explained it to you. There's some tough travel days. There's some long bus rides. There's going to be days where we're sitting in the airport for a couple hours. But then when you leave the game, and I feel that way, and I have a lot of friends that feel that way, that you kind of miss those times where you're playing cards on the bus, or you miss those times in the hotel because you're together. There's nothing else to do but kind of enjoy each other's company. And it's that kind of camaraderie that makes a team special.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes you don't want to, you're not in the city you want to be in, or the place you want to be, or the league you want to be, but it's at the end of the day, it comes down to the group that's there and who's going to have your back and who's there for you. You know, the closer the teams are, the further they've gone. And I can speak volumes of that for the teams I was on. They were by far the closest teams that went far. So, yeah, you can't, that's something, again, you can't take that from you. And coach told me a few years ago, like, you got to adapt or die. You know, it's, doesn't matter if you're the first line guy, the fourth line guy, it's going to be a different role, different place every year. And you got to adapt to the situation or there's going to be no more.
And certainly you've landed on that top line because of your good passing ability, your physicality. Like when you're looking around the league, your first year in the EIHL, are you surprised by the level of play so far, or is it kind of what you thought it would be?
Yeah, honestly, we have this talk a lot between like teammates, friends and stuff that, you know, maybe they don't really understand the quality of hockey around the world. I think it's a global game and it's slowly getting better and better in every country, and the players are getting better and younger and younger and younger. And I feel like you got to play your game no matter where you are. So I try not to think about the league and where you are. I think all the hockey's good. And like I said, you got to adapt or die to each situation you're in.
And you're certainly very adaptable, because on one shift, I notice in Cardiff, you're the most energetic and the most physical guy. The next shift, you're scoring the goal against Cardiff. So you kind of, every shift, you can kind of do a little bit of everything. So you're probably feeling like, no matter what, let's try and cause some problems for the opposition. And you've certainly done that in early stages.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I go back, just playing as a kid, I was a lot smaller than I am now, and I had to kind of find a way to fit in and to get in the lineup and just do something. My dad always told me, do something. If you're not scoring, if you're not making plays, you got to get noticed somehow. So do something.
Yeah, if you're not going to score on that shift, make sure to take the body or be first in on the forecheck. And I certainly noticed that in Cardiff that night. That's a neat building to go, and that's going to be a good rivalry, I think, all season long. And well, that was a loud sellout that night in Cardiff. Are you looking around going, this is cool, I'm playing hockey in Wales in front of a sellout crowd, and I'm scoring, and I'm banging, and I'm having a good time?
Yeah, man, it's awesome. There's honestly no feeling like it. I mean, for me, I mean, coming out of the tunnel is like one of the best feelings, and having the appreciation from the fans, whether you're on the road or at home, it goes a long way. The noise, the atmosphere, the other team, like, they know, like, they're a solid team and they're going to bring it. So, and like I said, I'm a competitor. So at the end of the day, I like having those big challenges, because it's when all the players are going to arise and play their best.
I know one of the things head coach Corey Nielsen said when he came online and he was going to be recruiting and all that, he wanted to, you know, the competitiveness, making it hard to play against. I just said it, they're causing problems. And you were a guy that he was so excited about. And so I just wanted to ask you, so he's recruiting you, he's talking to your agent or whatever, the whole process, we won't get into that, but did you have some talks with him and go, okay, this is a coach that can play for, this is a coach that can come and score goals or cause problems and just be combative?
Yeah, I think right from the start, from talking to Corey, I feel like he understood me and he understands what I bring to the table and what it actually means and what it can do. He's been great with me. It's something that's also been tough. You know, coaches can't, it's a hard thing, right? It's a hard thing to learn everybody's personalities and who needs what. And I think Corey does that a very well job with not just myself, but with everybody. So it's different guys need different things, and he's very approachable. You can go talk to him if you need to, and he's going to set it straight with you and you figure out a solution. But so far, so good. And I appreciate what he's done for me.
Not a lot of life as Dickinson gets across the line. He'll go rink wide. And a shot. They score! Mid Mitchell Hurd.
That's a really good point, because a head coach needs to know, okay, Mitchell Hurd is this kind of guy, and this is how I approach him, and maybe Robert Lakovich is this guy, and I know Lacko from when he was a teenager, so I'm going to approach him that way. So on the other side, you've got Mike Sorrent is quite a calm guy. Corey knows the league well. So have you enjoyed that? Because they're two very different personalities, your head coach and your assistant coach.
Yeah, Mike's been great. Honestly, I think he's that guy that you kind of need around to just keep it grounded, keep the positive energy, keep the guys smiling and where they need to be. And he's always checking in on the guys, asking us how we are every day. There's not one time you walk by him and he's not asking how you are. So I think for me personally, that goes a long way. And I'm nothing but appreciative.
Yeah, and on those long travel days, you need someone like that who can kind of bring a smile to your face. And I even noticed that when we left Cardiff and went to Coventry overnight a few weekends ago. I mean, Mike Sorrent just always seems to be a positive thing. And that can be a big, big thing in a tough game in the dog days of January or February, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the type of player I am, I can be emotional. And staying on and off that line is very important. Just having the right people around you with the right cues and little things like that are going to be a positive impact for not just me, but for the entire team.
A couple of your teammates that have been on Clan Chat already have kind of said that the guys have come together, and that's probably a little bit of being on the road for probably a week or two longer than we would have liked. But you have that little bit of adversity, you have that little bit of travel, and you've come together. Is there any sort of characters? Is there anyone, someone you've really enjoyed, or someone that's maybe funnier or more or a bigger character than you thought?
You know what? I'm Sidorov's been one of my closer buddies on the team. We've been leaning on each other. And Felix Parre, me and him actually go back a couple years. We were jawing at each other in the games in Toledo and Wheeling. So to meet him finally in person is great, because we had some good battles, some good chirps, and we kind of feed off each other. He's a positive guy, and I think he can recognize when I need that and when I don't. And he's been there for me, like an emotional supportive guy. So thank him for that. And and also Cole Uli, him and I have been you know figuring each other out or what he needs and what I need. And we've got some good chats the last couple weeks, and it paid off last week. So like I said, one step at a time, one day at a time, we learn on each other and we figure it out together.
Yeah, and certainly Cole Uli, one of the guys that does know the league from a good season in Cardiff last year. We're delighted to have him in purple. Did he kind of give you the heads up about going into Ice Arena Wales or Vindico Arena?
Yeah, man, he's like, basically he's just telling us that they're going to bring it, and they're good in their home barn, and we got to be ready. He's he's another guy who's a calmer dude, and he helps me mentally for sure. It's been a big impact on why we've been doing so well together, I think.
There's that old adage in hockey, and it goes back decades. I mean, if you can go back and watch on YouTube and watch like coaches from different NHL eras saying we have to start on time. Well, how good was it in Kirkcaldy 8 seconds in to get that goal right off the draw? I mean, that's important, and that sets a tone, and that also shows that you guys are coming together now. You're starting to figure it out. You've already had the previous game in Kirkcaldy. You go into Kirkcaldy a second time, and you're ready to go.
I think that was the goal all week. We were like, we needed that win. We wanted that win. And also, I think it was a big breakout game for our line. Like, personally, we've been doing the right things, getting rewarded a little bit, but also just clicking, doing the right things. Of like, the system was done very well. And I think we just got to keep going, man. Keep that positive vibes between our line mates. And we're all going for dinner tonight. I've never really had that as a line, and having that consistent line together for the last 6 weeks, it's a lot of change usually. So for us to be able to adapt together, and like I said, Corey's giving us that time to figure each other out, it's going a long way.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, he certainly knows what he's doing in regards to your line, because all of you guys are chipping in points and you're causing problems. And I think Devin Sidorov plays with more of a snarl than people thought he did. And Cole Uli's so silky smooth and doesn't back down. I mean, it's a fun line to watch. And I'm sure there's a lot of teams, or you're going to give a lot of teams a lot of problems throughout the season.
Yeah, that's definitely the plan. So far we've been doing it, and we just got to keep going. Like I said, we got to adapt and adapt or die in every situation that's put in front of us. And I think the last 6 weeks has been long grind mentally, physically, with the bus rides, the stuff like that. But in the end of the day, it's only going to help us.
Yeah, absolutely. Because once you go through that sort of, like I said, probably 2 weeks longer, 3 weeks longer than we would have liked to be on the road with things that were out of our hands. But when you get through that, you realize, well, we can kind of get through anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like you, here we go again. Let's go. We're going on the bus. It's nothing new to us, and we're ready to play.
Yeah, because I think a lot of, and I think over the last few seasons, not just in Glasgow, there's a lot of imports come in and you think, oh my God, I didn't realize there was a 12-hour bus ride or whatever. But one thing for certain is certainly ownership in Glasgow is going to make sure you go down the day before you have the ability to be ready to go. And that was a really good game in Cardiff. I really enjoyed that. And I spoke to some colleagues in Cardiff and they said, that's as good as a hockey game we've seen in here in years. So, I mean, that's going to be a good rivalry all season long. You got the good rivalry with Dundee, the good rivalry with Scotland, and I would imagine you're excited to take the show on the road a little bit too and see what's going on in Belfast, see what's going on in Nottingham. So it's an exciting time, and at the start of the season it's kind of like that feeling that, oh look, it's, you know, everything is hopeful, everything is new, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think like going into those building and experiencing them like early is a lot better than later, and you know what to expect the next time going in. So I honestly enjoy the bus. I think it's good for pre and post to mentally get prepared for what you're doing. And you can listen to music or podcasts and get you in the mood you need to be in, and a lot of time to reflect and stuff like that.
What are you listening to in the earbuds and what podcasts?
If I'm doing podcasts, lately I've been listening to the Huberman Lab. So he goes on about a lot of scientific stuff and neuroscience and that kind of stuff.
What about music? Are you a country guy? There's a lot of country guys in that room.
Yeah, I'm an everything guy for music, but I like hip hop and rap. That's more my jam. But I do pop music, pop hip hop, whatever, really, whatever kind of mood I'm in.
Well, I know you're busy. You're going out to dinner with the Lineys tonight. You're getting ready for all the games that are coming down the pipe and home openers and all that sort of stuff. A lot of exciting things on the go. Do you have a message for the Purple Army before we let you jump off a Clan Chat? Just sort of, you know, I'm here. This is the type of player I am. Do you have a message for the fans in purple?
Yeah, I mean, they can just expect, like I said earlier, what you see is what you get. I'm a passionate, emotional player, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to win. My competitiveness is why I am where I am and how I've got here, and the career I've had and carved for myself is for my love and passion of the game, and not willing to take the answer no.
I love that. I think the Purple Army will love that, and they're going to love seeing you actually at Brayhead Arena now that things are coming together in that regard. Mitchell, thanks for taking the time to join us on Clan Chat. Delighted to have you in purple, and we will see you shortly at Brayhead Arena, and enjoy dinner with the line mates tonight.
Thanks, Murph. I really enjoyed it, man. Have a good evening.